Our gospel this morning is found in the 10th chapter of Luke. I would invite you to stand as you are able. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Here ends our gospel for this day. Please be seated. Dear hearers of the Word of God, grace to you and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ, who wants for us not just the good, but the best. Amen. Sometimes a sermon almost writes itself. Other times, they just refuse to write themselves. That was my experience this week with this text. But while struggling with the text of today's sermon, I came upon someone's list of conditions that indicate a person's priorities might be out of whack. So I'd like you to consider some of these. You constantly feel overwhelmed. You rarely accomplish your goals. You have a habit of overcommitting. You're generally stressed and anxious. You don't take time. You don't make time for self-care. Notice that I said you don't make time for self-care, not take time. You often neglect your own needs. You're overworked. You feel unfulfilled. You neglect your physical health. You struggle with time management. You often miss out on important life events. You always feel distracted. Now, I'm sure that none of you folks can relate to any of those things, or maybe you can, but I'll bet that if we were to take a life inventory of Martha from today's gospel reading, she might have to admit to more than a couple of those characteristics. Maybe you and I would as well. We get used often to looking at things, especially in scriptural texts, in kind of a comparative or judgmental way. This thing is good. This thing is not so good. This is bad. This is good. And we may tend to look at the story of Martha and Mary in that way as well. But I believe that to do so would be wrong. Because here we don't find a case where one of them is applauded and praised for doing something good, and another one is scolded for doing something bad. No. Rather, both of them are doing something good, but one is noted as doing something better. So let's unpack this passage a bit and see if we can learn anything helpful from it. In the days of ancient Israel, hospitality wasn't just a big deal. It was a huge deal. When a guest was welcomed, they became the center of attention, and everything was done to ensure their comfort. They were the hub around which the wheel rotated. And apparently Martha was into this in spades. She wanted to make sure that she did all that she could and prepared all that she could so that her guest was comfortable. She wanted all of her activities and preparations to be commendable. And it's probably safe to assume that she was kind of a blur of activity, very possibly driving everyone else in the house just a little bit nuts with her rather nonstop advice and instructions. There was always one more thing to do. There was always one more thing that needed her attention. There was always one more thing that needed to be tweaked or adjusted just a little bit. The triclinium, those were the dining couches that people laid on to eat. They didn't sit at a table back then, they laid on couches. The triclinium were all in place, the food was nearly ready to be served. And I think it's probably safe to assume that Martha's sister Mary, prior to their guest's arrival, was helping with all these preparations. Although busy, all was probably relatively peaceful until the guests arrived. And then the wheels came off. Martha was still bustling about doing this and that. But Mary had seated herself at the feet of Jesus and was listening to what he had to say. And in Martha's mind, at least, the problem was Mary was no longer helping her. Finally, it just became too much for Martha. And although her frustrations were with Mary, she said to Jesus, the main guest and the reason for all this commotion in the first place, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Think about those words for just a minute. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Who's the focus? Martha. It was definitely not considered appropriate behavior to confront an honored guest by snapping at them and saying, in effect, "Lord, tell my sister to get off dead center, to stop paying so much attention to you and to come help me." How's that sound? Jesus might have torn into Martha for those words. He might have. But apparently he had some awareness of Martha's personality, because instead of doing what she asked, he simply replied, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Martha, dear Martha, you're fussing around about all sorts of things, getting yourself worked up over nothing. Mary's taken the better choice of action, and she won't be sorry. You see, Martha had gotten so wrapped up in the preparations for the guests that they had become the main thing, rather than the guest himself. The preparations became the big deal. She wanted to welcome Jesus in the way that she wanted to welcome him, in a way that pleased her, not necessarily in a way that pleased him. She was so focused on preparing for her guest that when the guest arrived, they became less important than the preparations themselves. Now, almost certainly, Martha didn't realize that that had happened. That it can happen so smoothly and so subtly that we're not even aware of it. Sometimes the secondary things somehow become the main things. And when that happens, our priorities are out of whack. So, let's consider. What is Martha doing that's wrong? Exactly. Martha's not really doing anything wrong. She's not doing anything wrong, but her priorities are out of whack. The essential element of hospitality in the culture of the time was to pay attention to the guest. Everything else was secondary and optional. When Martha snapped at Jesus, asking him to tell Mary to leave him and come help her, she was putting her needs and wants above those of his needs and wants. Maybe she didn't realize that fact, but it was true nonetheless. And in spite of that, Jesus didn't appear to take any offense. He did, however, attempt to redirect her focus by reminding her that although she was busy with all sorts of things, only one thing is needful, just one. And at those words, I can imagine that maybe both Martha and Mary might have been paying particular attention to find out what it was. So what is the one thing that is of such great importance? Hearing Jesus' word. Preparations and hospitality are indeed important. They're great as far as they go, but they are not as important as hearing Jesus' word. Whether or not Mary acted with awareness of it, by sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him, she was precisely modeling the description of an ideal rabbinic disciple, sitting at the teacher's feet. And it wasn't just a case that Mary was simply sitting there to avoid her annoyed sister. You see, the Greek word translated as listening, Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, literally means that Mary was absorbing Jesus' words. She was fully attentive and thoughtful, taking them in as much as possible in all of their depth and their wisdom and their wonderfulness. So I wonder, when we spend time with Jesus' word, do we do so with as much focus and interest as Mary? Or do we give Jesus and his word only our distracted, busy, and unfocused selves? It made me think of a time when I was in college. I took a Greek language class. And one day there was an unexpected pop quiz. And not surprisingly, the entire class did miserably. The prof seemed to take it all in stride, but he did give us this advice. He said, if you're going to study, be devoted to it. Don't allow any interruptions. Don't take any phone calls. Don't answer the door. Find a place where you can focus solely on what you're doing. But if you're not going to study, if you're going to goof off, don't feel guilty about not studying, because that'll just ruin your goofing off time. His point was, and it's actually pretty wise, whatever you're doing, do it wholeheartedly, fully engaged. Get the most you can out of it. That's what Mary was trying to do. When we read scripture or spend time in prayer, are we fully engaged? Doing it wholeheartedly, getting the most we can out of it? Praying that the Lord will open our mind, our heart, to receive his word. Now, I'm sure that the Lord Jesus no doubt appreciated Martha's efforts on his behalf. But what he really wanted was Martha herself. Her focus, her attention, her engagement. Not because he needed it. He didn't need it, but because it would be a blessing to her. He knew that she needed it. Her actions seemed to indicate that she had forgotten that no matter how busy she was or how busy she thought she was, there would always be work there tomorrow. But her guest Jesus might not always be there. How tragic it would be if we missed spending time with Jesus, even though he was right there with us. Right there. It's true that we make time for the things that we prioritize. But sometimes our priorities go off the rails. Sometimes we just need to take a step back, take a deep breath, and just sort out what really matters. We need to remember that being busy with something doesn't necessarily mean we're accomplishing anything. And we need to remember not to confuse activity with productivity, because lots of people are simply busy with nothing more than being busy. We might be tempted to feel envious of Mary because she had time with Jesus, and that's understandable, but if we feel that way, perhaps there's something we're not realizing. We might not realize that we have blessings far beyond what Mary had. We have God's word to us in the Bible. We have the Gospels that reveal the Lord to us in multiple ways. We have the wisdom, the boldness, and the honesty, the insights of the Apostle Paul. We have the gentleness and trust of John. We have the stories of compassion related by Luke. And we have the fearsome and wonderful and hope-filled warnings and words of the Revelation to St. John. We have all of those available to us. Mary didn't. These are but a few of the blessings to be had whenever we open a Bible and spend time in and with God's Word. Are we doing so? Very possibly not often enough. And there's one other thing that has happened here that we might very easily miss or overlook, and it's this. When Jesus said that only one thing is needful, he very subtly but very deliberately put himself above the Torah. By all accounts, the one thing needful in the Jewish synagogue was study of the Torah. But Jesus does not direct Martha or Mary to Torah, but to himself. By doing so, Jesus indicates that it's not by fulfilling commandments or obeying rules that eternal life is to be had, but rather by spending time with Jesus and absorbing his word. Martha is not to be condemned for her concerns or her activities, but she is to be corrected in her priorities. She's not the bad guy in this story. Both Martha and Mary are needful. And I would guess that pretty much all of us at times need to have our priorities readjusted as well. We can all learn from both Martha and Mary. And may we do so to the increase of our faith and to the honor of our God. Thanks be to God. Amen.